This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on this Football Friday, powered by Big City Roadhouse. With us now on the First Advantage Hotline, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, my friend, this I know it's week three, but this one between the Chargers, this feels like a really big early season battle here. You don't want the Chargers to start to slowly running away with this this lead in the AFC West.
Yeah, you really don't. Chargers currently undefeated at 2-0, sit atop the AFC West by themselves, but chance to get back into it with this one. This is the third division game for the Chargers. They've done nothing but play division games, the first division game for the Broncos. So, you know, certainly one of those matchups where when you look at a division, it's what you call a 2.5 game, right? Because you get the two-game swing, the win, the loss on the other, and then, you know, whatever the tiebreakers are. Definitely one you don't want to let slip away from you.
All right, so let me ask you about last week. When you look at that, again, we know the leverage thing, all that stuff. It was a crazy ending for the Broncos, but did you walk away from that game going, I mean, because you thought it was going to be a close game anyway when you talked to us Friday. Did you walk away from that game going, maybe the Colts, like, watch out for the Colts, or maybe you're already there because I've seen your tweets about Daniel Jones. He looks like a completely different human now. Maybe the Colts are a force to be reckoned with.
I think they're better than people think they are, and you got to keep in mind we took them on without their top two corners and without their best defensive end. So, you know, put that in perspective. You know, the Colts are a better team than people think they are. The offense, now that it's got some consistency at the position, is a lot better than people think it is. And, you know, they've got a heck of a player there in that rookie tight end. So, you know, I think the Colts are somebody to kind of keep your eye on the remainder of the year if they can stay healthy. They look like they've got a little something.
What did you think of the Broncos overall in that game? It came down to a crazy call, a strange situation for sure, but it seemed to be the right call, though maybe they missed it with the Will Lutz missed field goal, too. Either way you want to slice it, what did you see from the Broncos that you came? Did you come away with more positives, or is there a little concern about this team going forward?
Well, I think there's a little concern. There's a little bit of a blueprint on the defense there. They kind of went after Surtain when his ankle was hurting, and we saw that Singleton himself is not at his best going away from the football. So a little bit of a blueprint that teams will have to kind of look at some things going forward to attack them defensively. On the offensive side, they force fed Troy Franklin because the Colts just decided not to cover him, but the rest of the offense didn't look all that great. Cortland was struggling with the jam all game. We couldn't get Mims or Engram going, and then Engram, you know, of course, is continuing to rack up the injuries. The only real bright spot, I think, on the offense, other than Franklin having his day, was J.K. Dobbins. And if there's one thing I know about Sean Payton, he'll see something that's working in the ground game and then completely ignore it for 10 weeks. So, that frustrates me a little bit. This team looks like it's at its best if it's a 1-2 punch run team that builds off play action. And, like we said, we've seen Sean Payton. That means we'll have 50 passing attempts and run the ball 8 times next game. So, there's some frustrations that you have. There's some nitpicks that you have, and there's some coaching frustrations you have. You know, there are things on this team that work, and for whatever reason, the coaching staff struggles to stick with those kinds of things. And that's going to be a tale of what this team's going to be for the rest of the season. Are they going to be a team that plays to their strengths, or are they going to be a team that that outcoaches themselves, trying to prove they're the smartest guys in the room?
And I know I've asked you this already, but it seems like this is a reoccurring thing. Like, I see it on his play sheet: run the ball. We've talked about maybe the ego stepping in with his belief in Bo Nix, but I mean, what is it, man? Because I mean, a little better in the first half as far as carries for these guys, for J.K. Dobbins, but still, I mean, 14 carries for Dobbins, and then R.J. Harvey comes in with 5. I don't understand. It was a close game throughout, and it still seems like Sean Payton is just very reluctant to try to run that football.
Yeah, I mean, that's just his thing. He's a former quarterback. He was in an offense that. Where he had Drew Brees, who was capable of executing some things that Bo's not capable of executing yet. And, you get stuck and you get used to a certain way. And these things have worked in the past, so you go back to them. And instead of, maybe identifying each situation for what it is and, you know, that was one of my complaints when we hired Sean Payton. Sean Payton will get away from what works in order to, you know, to play into certain other things. I mean, the thing that bothered me when we hired him was, you know, sort of this genius label that got applied. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Sean Payton won one Super Bowl with a top seven all-time quarterback in Drew Brees. He's got the same resume as Mike McCarthy. And people bristle at the notion when you suggest that you know, they have the same resume. But they do. So, you know, so this is one of those things. And the reality is when he won the Super Bowl, I mean, they were the number one rushing team. So, you know, Sean Payton has got to get back to what works and quit trying to outsmart everybody and outfox everybody and prove that he's the genius and all this other stuff. If you just do what works, the genius takes care of itself.
Well, it's like I'm watching the Bills last night. And I think we've talked about this, even the Bills-Ravens game. When they're running the ball, maybe if you compare the stats, yeah, the Bills are probably running about the same amount maybe as the Broncos are close, same with the Ravens, but it's just a flow. It just feels a lot different when they run the ball. It feels like, and again, it sounds so easy, but they run with a purpose. They run to set stuff up. They pass to set up the run. They run to set up the pass. I know there's a lot more intricacies that go into that, but when I watch the Broncos, it almost just feels like we got to check that off the box here. Oh, we forgot to run. Here we go. Let's run it. I don't get that same feel when I'm watching a Bills or Ravens game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's complimentary football, and that's sort of the thing. It just feels like the run game for the Broncos has sort of been a perfunctory thing that, oh, well, we have to do this before we can get back to more passing, you know? And that's sort of been the problem. You know, you made the investment. You've got these running backs. We've got a top 10 running game in the league right now. Let's use the run. And so that's sort of the thing. I don't know if Sean's out to prove that, you know, the haters were all wrong about him or the haters are wrong about Bo Nix or whatever the case may be. But I just come from the school of football where if something's working, keep doing it until they stop it. And it just appears like Sean Payton just doesn't do that. He gets too far away from the run, and then, you know, he's got it written all over the play sheet to get back to it, and he ignores that. I mean, you know, it's just a guy who's, you know, kind of frankly set his ways in the way he's going to do things for better or worse. And right now, we saw instances of that in the last game where that was for worse.
Are you getting any kind of a vibe that maybe the Broncos will make that a point of emphasis, and rather than just say it, actually do it? Also, you know, Sean kind of seems like he's a, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but a grudge kind of guy. And he's like, hey, J.K. Dobbins, I feel your pain. The Chargers kind of messed around with you, man. Let's get at him here. Let's give the Chargers a healthy dose of you.
Well, I mean, from the let a guy score touchdowns perspective, yeah, maybe. But, you know, you go back and you look at some of the other times that he's done that, he's not been that guy, not with the running backs anyway. Plus, Sean Payton has struggled against Jim Harbaugh in his career. He's 1-5 in his career against Jim Harbaugh. He was 1-3, excuse me, against him when he was in New Orleans with San Fran. He's 0-2 against him with the Broncos as the Chargers head coach. Sean Payton has struggled against Jim Harbaugh. So, you know, I don't know that I think that would be the grudge that I would want to have more so than, you know, telling my running back, I feel your pain, I'm committing to that.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, you mentioned Evan Ingram. How about Dre Greenlaw, too? You know, Justin Sternhout as well. Injury updates, all listed as questionable, I believe, at this point?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Greenlaw in this one. We'll see. I think it'll be the Monday night game against the Bengals. I think will be his debut. We'll see. But they're playing that one out of abundance of caution. You know, the last thing with the soft tissue injury is put somebody out there when they're not ready, re-aggravate it, then they're done for the year. It lingers and, you know, it hobbles them and all that. So they're going out of abundance of caution. Ingram has just picked up a few bumps and bruises along the way. He had the ankle, his back tightened up on him after he got hit on one play. And so his back's been an issue. So the good news is you get Nate Atkins back this week. So, you know, you kind of get that low red zone, H-back, you know, fullback, tight end, kind of hybrid player. You know, honestly, he's the closest thing to the team's joker than Evan Ingram, who's really just a glorified heavy slot receiver. So, you know, there's some good and some bad in there. Sternad, you know, they're starting to get perilously thin at that inside backer position. They don't get Greenlaw back. So, you know, you need him back. You've got Singleton, who's not played well away from the ball. He's got broken his thumb twice. You've got Greenlaw, who hadn't hit the field yet. Now you've got Sternad, who's got the injury. And, you know, that leaves Karan Reed, who's a special teamer, and Lavelle Bailey, who's on the practice squad, really is the guys behind them. So, you know, really don't want to get down to where you're scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah, it's injury concerns kind of stacking up a little bit here for the Broncos early in the season. On the Evan Engram side of things, you mentioned it. We heard so much about Sean Payton talking about the Joker position. And we were at least, it was advertised to a lot of us that Engram was going to be that guy. And so far, he's more like, the Riddler or something right now, because I'm not sure what his big use is right now with the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't even think the Riddler. That's a headline villain. He's buried in the lore. He might be Kite Man. I'm kidding.
The calendar guy.
That's sort of the thing, though. I mean, like when they signed Engram, I tried to warn everybody. Like, Engram's not. When you're saying Joker, I get they're advertising this, but that's not what he is. I mean, he's a heavy slot receiver. He's a little Jordan Humphrey. That's what he is. That's the thing. He doesn't line up in line as a tight end. He's not a fullback or an H-back. He's just a glorified off the line heavy wide receiver. And so that's the thing. Adkins is the closest thing they've got to that air quotes Joker role. So it'll be good to have him back. And Engram, if they can get him healthy, I mean, they have plans for him. They love using him as the spacing concept guy and having a body out there. But the production, at least in terms of fantasy viability, has just not been there.
On the Colts, or Colts side, still thinking about the Colts, still damaged from that game, Benjamin. On the Chargers side of things, I mean, they look good. They look red hot. And, for a Harbaugh team, they haven't. It's interesting. The run game has been secondary. Justin Herbert, I'm impressed with his numbers, but also his numbers when he's under pressure. I mean, he was good with that last year, too, but it seems like he's taking that to another level.
Well, yeah, Greg Roman throwing the ball over the place. I mean, Greg Roman's been a top five rushing attempts, bottom five passing attempts offense almost to the entirety of his offensive coordinating career outside of, I think, the 2021 season with Lamar Jackson. But, they're throwing the ball all of a sudden. And so that's, I think, catching some teams by surprise. They're feeding Quentin Johnson a little more than they should. He's still wildly inefficient, even if he's a little bit better than he has been. But Keenan Allen looks kind of revitalized in his old age out there, strolling around the field in the wheelchair. And then you've got Ladd McConkey, who's he's sneaky fast. He's white. I'm saying he's white.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some receiving talent out there. That's the thing. The tight end doesn't scare you. Will Disley's kind of very solid, but he doesn't scare you. It's that three-headed Jabberwocky they've got at the receiving core, and then they really haven't unleashed the full potential of what they've got in the running game with Najee Harris and Amarian Hampton. So what they're doing with an offensive line that frankly is very middle of the road has been fascinating. It's going to be interesting to see how they change up the game plan this week, because what you saw in Indy was a very good offensive line playing to get it out quick, and that was very effective for them. That's not what the Chargers do. That's not what they've done in week one and week two. A lot of what they've done has been deep overs, deep cross routes, shot plays, stuff like that. And their line is not all that good. So I wonder if they change up what they're doing on offense a little bit this game, simply because the pressure from the Broncos will probably necessitate that.
Yeah, well, and with this secondary with the Broncos, I mean, do you look at that and say, okay, this is when we're going to see kind of more of a traditional Harbaugh, Greg Roman style offense, where they are going to start to really utilize a heavy dose of Amarian Hampton and Najee Harris? Are we going to see that rushing attack really amped up this weekend?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I expect a lot of quick game. They'll take their shots with Quentin Johnson, but a lot of quick game with Keenan Allen and Ladd McConkey doing the quick hitches, the comebacks, things like that, or the cross routes, and then a steady diet of that run game to kind of soften up the pass rush. So that's kind of what I'm expecting this weekend.
All right, Benjamin. The Broncos are dogs in this game, 2.5, I believe. How do you see this one playing out?
I don't like our odds this weekend. As I look forward, I think you're catching a break with no Joe Burrow on Monday night. You've got 2 weeks after that. You got a London game against the Jets. You got the Giants following that. There's some wins down the line, but I don't like our odds this weekend. I've got the Chargers 28, Broncos 20.
Chargers 28, Broncos 20. All right. I hope you're wrong, Benjamin. I wish you the best, but I hope you're wrong, my friend.
One time I thought I was wrong. Turned out I was mistaken.
All right. Well done. We'll catch up with you next Friday, my friend.
All right, brother. Take care.
Benjamin Albright, 28-20. How do you guys feel about that? Hooligans? Shoot us a text on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's funny that Benjamin says that, because there's a part of my brain that's like, all right, we've been seeing the Chargers throw the ball all over the place. Justin Herbert, under pressure, under duress this season when he's blitzed, He's 18 of 24, 264 yards and 2 touchdowns with an amazing QBR rating when he's blitzed. His overall rating is phenomenal. He looks like a top-tier quarterback through 2 weeks of football. The Broncos have a pretty good secondary. Now, I know Patrick Surtain gave up the 63 yards or whatever, which really isn't that bad, especially when he's running around on maybe a twisted ankle. Sounds like that's going to be okay. Is this the game where the Chargers really kind of pull the reins back on Herbert and release the running backs a little bit more, especially when the Broncos are banged up on the interior linebacker side of things? So that's something to watch out for this weekend. All right, we got our Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question coming up next. We got to get you in the mix for the $20 gift certificate. Meanwhile, give me your picks. You guys know the teams I follow. We got Air Force, CSU, CU, Wyoming, and the Broncos. You can give me all of them. You can let me know what you think the score is going to be for the Broncos-Chargers game. Will the Broncos start the season 2-1 in a pretty important AFC West battle coming up on Sunday? It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
That means football is on KFKA. Preps, college, pros, and the Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.